The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today
FM. It's time for TV and streaming with Jennifer Gannon and Joe O'Shea. And the TV event of the year for many of us takes place this evening. And I am so jealous of Jennifer Gannon, who has just told me off air that she has had privileged access to Succession. And you've seen how many episodes?
7 out of the 9.
And the rest of us have to wait once a week for the next... Was it 10, 9 weeks? 9 weeks. Yeah. Still, I'm so looking forward to it tonight. The only thing is, the anticipation, the expectation, is it going to live up to it? Before you tell us your appraisal of it, let's have a non-spoiler clip from the first episode of season 3 featuring Cousin Greg and Kendall Roy. And let me warn you, as you would expect, this has some strong language.
Hey, Ken. If you're okay, will you just say okay so that I know you're okay? Because... otherwise, I'll have to break the door down, and I don't really want... I don't know if I'll be able to, but... Okay, action stations. Let's fucking go. Let's get into this.
Even possibly the best theme music ever. Okay, I'm maybe overselling this, Jennifer Ammer, but Jennifer, I think this is my favourite TV show probably of all time. Is season 3 going to live up to seasons 1 and 2?
It does, it definitely does. I mean, if the last couple of seasons, they're all about the right playing the right chess moves and manoeuvring, this third season is 3D chess being played on the battlefield and they're using hand grenades as chess pieces. It's an all-out civil war within the family and outside of the family. They're coming to get them. So the duality and the duplicity has really been upped this season and everyone is turning on each other. And for me, it's very intense. It was like watching 7 episodes, episodic Uncut Gems. That's how intense it was. If anybody's watched Uncut Gems and they know how anxiety ridden you get watching that, this is what this is like. And I will say episode 3 is an absolute all out masterpiece. I would say there's a lot of scene setting going on in episode 1 and 2, but by the time you get to 3, you're right back in it again.
Is it as funny as the first two series were? Because, I mean, despite the drama and the anxiety and the tension, it was... possibly one of the funniest programmes as well.
It is, and I think, you know, Jesse Armstrong, he's all the writers for Succession all have a background in comedy, so I think that's really important to them. And I think we're seeing, you know, you still have the relationship between, you know, Cousin Greg and Tom and how odd that is, and there's like Tom is still one of the funniest characters in it. But then you have someone like Kendall, because Kendall is high on his own supply at the moment because he is the woke son of Waystar Royko, so there's a lot of comedy being mined out of his perception of himself and the way he wants the world to see him. And then you've just got, you know, I think Roman Roy, who gets all the best lines, still gets all the best lines for my money. Yeah, so it is still as funny as ever.
Joe O'Shea, do you watch it?
You guys are never going to talk to me again, though. But listen, I got to the start of season 2. I couldn't watch it anymore.
What?
And I think for the reason... Yeah, I know.
What?
I think for the reason Jennifer said, she mentioned Uncut Gems. I can't do anxiety TV and I can't do relentless cringe horror show people, terrible people doing terrible things to each other. I recognise, you know, the comedy value, the writing is fantastic, the acting is brilliant, it's magnificently made. I just can't take it. It's too much. I can't watch it. You know, I'm sorry, Matt. I know you'll never speak to me again, but...
Well, I will, because we're very tolerant of dissenting voices, even if we don't believe what you're saying.
It's too much.
Come on, Joe.
Look, it's the same reason I couldn't get through White Lotus. It's just, it's horrible people doing horrible things to each other, and it may be the times we live in, but I just can't take the relentless anxiety of it all. I really, it's just too... I may come back to it next year.
I like that they're all horrible, though, because I like that there's no character with any kind of... there's no redemptive quality to any of them. And that's why I think a lot of the time with TV, I mean, I know a lot of people would have a problem with Succession. I remember earlier saying, oh, I have nobody to root for. And I just think that's a really weird way to look at TV.
Is it very... I don't know whether I should be saying this, but is it wrong to say that despite the fact that a lot of these people have no redeeming features, that I quite like some of them.
Oh yeah, I mean, like as I said, I mean, it says more about me about the characters who you really actually are in love with, because I do love Roman Roy and I think it's amazing, but at the same time, you know, he's a 100% despicable person, as with his father Logan Roy. But I think the show always has, you know, its finger on the pulse, and this time it's really around themes of corporate accountability and scrutinising the culture and behaviour of these giant companies, and that feels extremely relevant, as does that desire to like dethrone fusty old titans of industry and the kind of insecure nature of a traditional media. That's all in play in these episodes. It's so sharp.
See, the thing, Joe, is one of the reasons I love Succession is I actually can identify certain Irish equivalents of these people as well, yes, particularly from my time when I used to work as a business journalist. But anyway, that's Succession. Given that that's Jennifer's pick of the week and my pick of the week, but not yours, what's your pick of the week?
Well, but my TV event of the week is Impeachment, American Crime Story. So I might just talk about that.
Well, we do, because we actually wanted to talk about that as well, because Jennifer's also seen one episode of this.
Yeah. Listen, American Crime Story, if you haven't seen the first two seasons, O.J. Simpson and the assassination of Gianni Versace, they are monumental TV and just so brilliantly done. And what they do is they go and they dramatise a huge crime story, right? So now we're on to one of the biggest crime stories, so to speak, of the 20th century.
Sorry, just for people who are, before we get to that, I mean, we were discussing this here actually at our editorial conference earlier this morning. The assassination of Gianni Versace was absolutely riveting television. Yes. Lots of stuff to it that I had no idea of. We wondered where the story was actually going. And it was so brilliantly created. And the People versus O.J. Simpson, there was an element of sort of farce in the way that it was actually done. But it was just such great entertainment. So the big question is going to be Impeachment, which is the story of Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. How can it live up to the standards of the two previous seasons?
That's what I'm worried about. And one of the things that really worries me is that Monica Lewinsky herself was a producer on this, and the guy who created the show, Bernie Feldstein, said that they ran every word and every script page past Monica Lewinsky. Now, she is obviously the one of the two main players in the whole drama. I don't know why they would do that. They're saying they wanted to get the facts right, but surely that's going to tilt it in one direction. If Monica Lewinsky is approving literally every line of the script, that's going to tilt it in a certain direction.
And that's her version of events, because other people would see things differently.
Of course, yeah. Now, it's based on Jeffrey Toobin's book, A Vast Conspiracy, the real story of the sex scandal that nearly brought down a president. So, he was trying to tell us from kind of a 360-degree view of what was going on. There was obviously a lot more than just the sexual shenanigans with Bill Clinton. It became a huge political affair. I just hope that they've managed to do it again. Because you're right, the Versace one and the Simpson one were very, very different. The Simpson one almost looked at how not to run a criminal prosecution, a murder trial. Versace was more of a murder mystery because you didn't know where it was going. So they're going to have to pull this off again. Hopefully they'll be able to do it. It's starting on BBC Two tomorrow night at 9:35, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I've already got the Sky Plus record button on for that. Jennifer, though, before you tell us what you've seen in the first, let's have a clip. And this is where Monica Lewinsky and Linda Tripp meet.
Before that, during Bush, I was on a desk right outside the Oval. Why was I sent to the council's office? Well, back in 93, I was very trim. I have reason to believe that Hillary didn't want me near the president, if you know what I mean. Of course, nothing was worse than the day I was sent here, stabbed in the back by a fair-weather friend. I won't say more. Sounds awful. It was. It was. Loyalty is very important to me.
Fair weather or not, I miss having friends in Washington. Most of my intern class left town when they weren't hired, and D.C. gets lonely fast.
Well, now you and I can be miserable together. Although, I have to say, you're such a knockout. I just assumed you'd be dating some big D.C. player. What?
I'm not dating.
Why not?
I'm kind of in something.
And yet you feel lonely?
Yes, affirmative.
Well, that's no good. Tell me about him.
It's just he's unavailable.
Someone long distance. Someone from work. someone important. Is that why they sent you here?
Jennifer, tell us all about it.
I mean, I think The People versus OJ was brilliant, and I think I like that this series is trying to interweave this, like OJ did, the social politics, and concentrating on this, the sexual politics of the time. And the through line of the show is the experiences of Linda Tripp and Monica Lewinsky, and to a lesser extent Paula Jones, who also accused Clinton as well. So these were the women that became famous, and they became vilified in through the press in only the way that women can. And I think there's issues around it because it is so layered, this whole journey that you're on with them. And I think, first of all, a lot of it looks like an SNL sketch because you're taken out of it because of the way people look. You know, we've talked about it before, but Sarah Paulson's Linda Tripp, her prosthetics and her fat suit, which she ended up having to apologise about wearing, it takes you out of the story. And
but
I have
to say,
almost
caricatured.
It does,
extent.
Like, especially
because
Clive Owen
pictures,
is the
Clive
worst.
Clive Owen as Bill Clinton is going, what?
Clive Owen is the worst. He looks like he came out of Jim Henson's workshop. Like, it does not look like Bill Clinton, and it doesn't look like a normal person, and it's very distracting. That's first of all. And then second of all, a lot of it boils down to the narrative, and a lot of the narrative is like a reenactment of Linda Tripp's tapes. And or famous scenes that those of us who would have been there at the time or know about what happened, that you'd be familiar with. You know, it's all about the dress and that first meeting between, you know, Clinton and Lewinsky. And they're, you know, it's really not, it's burying itself in this rather than pushing the narrative, I think, that it wants to have, because you have to hit all the marks at the same time. So I think it's been a bit too ambitious and it's trying to do too much. But at the same time, I actually, it is enjoyable to watch, I have to say. And I think Beanie Feldstein's performance is great, as is Sarah Paulson as Linda Tripp. And I think what they're doing is they're doing it from Tripp's eyes, so it's through her eyes, the
okay.
whole of
I'm still
going to
watch it. I'm going to watch it and give it a shot. Okay, your pick of the week, Joe.
This is on Wednesday at 9:30 on RT1. Callan's Kicks the Ears. So we'll all know Oliver Callan, a very talented mimic, a good impressionist, but also got a very pretty savage satirical intent. And this is a 6-part TV series starting on RT1 on Wednesday, where basically he's going to look back over 100 years since the 1921 treaty, using sketches and to sort of create an alternative satirical history of Ireland. Now, obviously, it's got Oliver Callan is starring in it, and the cast of characters includes kind of modern ones you'd expect, like Leo Mihal, Mary Lou, Michael D, and Dermot Bannon, Claire Byrne, and Hosea for some reason. But also, there's going to be some historical characters. You've got Charlie Haughey, Phil Linnis, Countess Markovitz, Ian Paisley, Mary Harney, Bono Young, and Bono Old. And they've got Mary McAvoy playing Peg Sayers, which I think is going to be a pretty interesting watch. So It starts off with we're looking at the Dev, the years after Dev, and what the creator calls the grim legacy, and, you know, Ireland struggling to kind of come into the 20th century. I think Oliver Callan's got a lot of talent. Obviously, he does have a pretty savage cutting edge to him. So, you know, I think it's definitely worth giving a go. It's a 6-part series. It looks like they've spent quite a bit of money on it. So, you know, I think that's what I'm definitely going to be tuning into.
Okay, and then for streaming, Jennifer, and I'm not going to play the clip because we won't have time. And anyway, I was warned it may not be suitable for younger ears. Gwyneth Paltrow
yes.
has made a program for Netflix called Sex, Love and Goop.
Gwyneth Paltrow now earns more money from selling something called sex dust on her website and telling women to put jade eggs inside themselves and hawking candles that smell like her vagina. So she makes more money out of that than she ever did as an actress. So, you know, you can take that for what it is.
And she made quite a lot of money as an actress.
Oh, yeah. And this goes to show that these days the fantasy of wellness and the wellness industry is more lucrative and alluring than the fantasy of, like, you know, even cinema and the silver screen. So people want to buy into that lifestyle now. And Gwyneth is the queen at making us believe that all these crystal woo-woos and spendy tchotchkes will make us more desirable. So, you know, but I will say, like, so this is a show about increasing, you know, sexual pleasure and, like, creating lasting intimacy. But the last one that she did, the Goop Lab for Netflix, Netflix, she had one of her members of staff undergo a lunchtime exorcism. So God only knows what she's going to be making them do this time around.
You're going to wrap it all up, aren't you?
Of course I am. Love Gwyneth. This is crazy. Like, I mean, if she wants to sell to deluded like women worldwide for all this stuff, let her, I say. If they're silly enough to buy into it, then fair play to her. There's a market there for it.
Jennifer Garner and Joe O'Shea, thank you for joining us for our weekly TV and streaming spot. Succession is on at 9 o'clock tonight on Sky Atlantic, I think, isn't it? And a lot of people, Now TV as well for other people.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.